Amen. Good to have you in the evening service tonight. Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you'd be thinking of a word of testimony. If you have one tonight, we want to be able to take those as we open the service. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it brings a prayer focus to us as we open the service tonight. And that prayer focus is found in verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 1. It's Paul's request for his ministry. And he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And so throughout this week, you should know we have ladies' Bible study in the morning and evening on Thursday. So the Bible will be studied in those Bible studies. And we want the word of the Lord to have free course. When we say free course, what are we talking about? We're talking about that the word would be able to get to the heart where it needs to get to the heart. That there be no obstacles in the way in our own hearts that would keep the word from accomplishing its intended purpose. That biblical change could take place through the study of the word. Then on Thursday night, we have Life and Leadership. That's a Bible study. Then there are Bible studies happening with new converts this week. Then there's preaching that's going on Wednesday night down in Teen Time and Master's Club and up here, and preaching all day on Sunday and teaching in the Sunday school classes. And that doesn't include personal witnessing opportunities where we're giving the word out. And it also doesn't include our daily time with the Lord where God's word speaks to us individually. So this prayer request and prayer focus is vital to a lot that's happening through our church and in our own lives, that the word of the Lord would have free course. And with that, we want to pray and ask that the Lord would accomplish that this week in our church and through our ministries. Let's pray. Father, we stop and we talk to you tonight. And Lord, we read in the scriptures that one of the prayer requests that we see in the Bible for ministries is, Lord, that your word would have free course. And Lord, I pray for that in our own lives this week. Lord, when we open the word, Lord, that you would teach us, and Lord, that your word would get to our heart, Lord, that it would change us, that it would change our hearts. I pray, Lord, for that in our, Lord, our Master's Club ministry on Wednesday night, Lord, that, Lord, the word would have free course in the lives of the young ones in our church, and Lord, in Teen Time, God, that, Lord, there wouldn't be walls up where we wouldn't let the word get to our hearts, Lord. I pray for that in our Bible studies on Thursday, Lord, with the ladies' Bible studies and also the Life and Leadership Bible study, Lord. I pray that, again, Lord, that we wouldn't just be built up in knowledge, but, Lord, that we would see how you would apply the word to our lives. And then, Lord, in our Saturday witnessing, Lord, as we go out on Light on Purpose and other opportunities you give to us throughout the week, Lord, we know we have the promise, Lord, that the word will accomplish what it is intended to accomplish. And, Lord, we claim that for our witnessing. We claim that for our Sunday services next week. And Lord, we pray for that even this night as we are under the word again this night, Lord. And, Lord, Paul asked for that prayer, Lord, evidently because he thought that if people prayed, Lord, that you would answer that prayer. And, Lord, we're praying that tonight as a church because, Lord, we too believe that you would answer that prayer. And so, Lord, we pray it before you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have a word of testimony, please raise your hand, and we'll take those just before we open the service tonight by singing. Anybody with a word of testimony tonight? Lynn Ebersole, yes. Amen, amen. God's protection from being in an accident. Praise the Lord. Somebody else? Somebody else with a testimony? Sean?
Yeah, so I had to get my tires changed yesterday, and I went to Windsor House of Tires, and there was a person in front of me who was also getting their tires changed. I had to wait for them. Mr. James and Miss Christina. And I would start talking to them about the gospel and invite them to church here. They are believers. They used to go to a Baptist church. I guess they were in West Pennsylvania, like real far. And so they moved out here. They've been looking for a church. Mm. They were going to try and make it today, but they couldn't. And so they're going to try and make it next week.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for an opportunity to talk to somebody while waiting for tire change. Amen. Somebody else tonight with a testimony? Back here as well. All right.
I'd like to thank everybody for praying. My nephew that had a massive heart attack is out of the hospital already.
Amen.
He had 90% blockage. They were able to put stents in. But evidently, it was the artery that usually makes, they call it the widow maker, and many people don't survive. So I just thank the Lord for praying, and his mom's saying, "Do you want to hear my miracle?" So I just pray that you continue to pray for him. He's still just having a little bit of cognitive because he died twice. He's still having a little bit of cognitive remembering things and short-term memory. So he's a little frustrated with his progress, his own progress. So, but I just wanted to thank everybody for praying because I know it was the prayers of the saints that God listened to and brought him back.
Amen. Amen. Testimony of a miracle in her family where somebody had a heart attack. Relative's name again?
Adam.
Adam. And God saved him, and he's recovering. Pray for his cognitive skills to come back, but praise the Lord for his work. Lonnie? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for God's touch in Elizabeth's body. I don't think everything's healed yet, so you can continue to pray for her, but she's on a good track. So we thank the Lord for that. Anybody else with testimony tonight? Tabitha, go ahead. This brought awareness and reminder that God is still there, right? Take your songbooks, if you will. Let's sing together tonight. God bless you.
Would you stand with me, please? Turn to hymn number 801. 801, How Great Thou Art. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 801. Thunder. Please remain standing for prayer. Brother Jim, would you please pray over offering? Please be seated. Please turn to hymn number 315. Hymn number 315, Nearer, Still Nearer. Again, we'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 315. Please be seated.
I've tried to live my life according to my will. When darkness comes, it's difficult to rest and just be still. But Lord, you are my shepherd who guides me in the way, and if I your word obey, you're all I need. You're the Lord of everything, all I need. This is why I humbly sing your strength. You're my heart's lone desire, you're all I need. By wanting more, I've wanted less than all you've given me. You gave your all by life at Calvary, so I surrender all, Lord, my best to you I give, and thank you now for giving me a reason to your strength is sustaining, and your grace has made me free. You're my heart's lone desire, you're all I need, all I need. More than enough, you're all.
In your Bibles now, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15. When you found John chapter 15, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read one verse, you follow along. Verse number 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we do praise you for being holy. We praise you, Lord, for giving to us your perfect word, and we praise you, Lord, for the word, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the truths that you have already given to us this morning in the preaching of your word about prayer. And, oh God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us. Lord, help us corporately as a church, but Lord, help us individually
to, Lord, seek you for a revived and more fervent prayer life. And God, now as we look into your word, I pray, even tonight, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to listen for what you have for us. Lord, not just to hear it, but Lord, to do something about it in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to truly abide in you, and that we would allow your words to abide in us. God, I pray you would be with our preacher as he brings to us this message. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in it all. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Ushers, if you would come and pass out the vision booklet. Everyone gets one, okay? So everybody gets a vision booklet. Thank you, ushers.
As you get in your vision booklet, I want to remind you of the goals that I gave to you this morning for our church this year in the area of prayer, and that is to strengthen each person's prayer life in the areas of praise and thanksgiving and supplication and intercession and confession and fasting and consistency and in being like our Lord Jesus Christ. With that, throughout the year, I'm going to be preaching on a number of themes that have to do with prayer. I'll be dealing with hindrances to prayer. I'll be dealing with Lord, teach me to pray as I am to start the year. I'll be dealing with developing your personal praise life and persistence in prayer and the unused weapon of fasting and spirit promptings in prayer and praying in times of spiritual warfare and the ministry of intercession and the daily discipline of confession and dealing with unanswered prayers and praying without ceasing and a number of messages that the Lord has just stirred my heart about to strengthen us in this area. To help accomplish that goal as well, as you get your vision booklets, you'll see on page number 2 there, the prayer focus, you'll see number 2 there is a personal weekly prayer guide. So a week from tonight, I will be giving you a tablet. Everybody will receive a tablet, and with it will be a weekly prayer guide that you can use, and we'll show you how to use that in the service next Wednesday night. And so goals are great, but unless we put nuts and bolts to goals, they don't go anywhere. And so we are working to put nuts and bolts to some of the goals that we're doing. Also, we want you to keep an awareness and focus of prayer in the Bible throughout the year. And so a number of our men have already signed up for this, but every other week at the end of adult Sunday school, we will have one of our men that will read a prayer that's found and recorded in the scripture. And then they will give about 5 to 10 minutes of observations that they gleaned from that prayer. And again, the goal is to keep it in front of us. And so we plan to do it that way. Also, in the church office this year, we have bought some resources that are available to you for sign out that are also on the subject of prayer. One of the things I learned from our soul winning program, our TNT training program, is for those 12 weeks, listening to preaching on it, reading about it, watching a video of teaching about it, getting out and doing it, that the program keeps soul winning in front of you. And somebody said years ago that you won't get something unless you campaign for it. And I believe that to some degree, that unless we make it a focus, unless it is front and center in our lives, we won't develop it in our lives. And so we have a number of books that you can sign out from the church office. One is a little book on how to pray by R.A. Torrey. Maybe you've read that book. It's not a bad book to reread. Maybe you've not read that book. Again, if you prayed this morning, if you were touched by the Spirit to pray, Lord, teach me to pray, that can be a very, very helpful tool in your lives. One of them is an autobiography of George Mueller. George Mueller was, he kept an orphanage for many years, and he never related to other people. his needs. He only talked to God about the needs of the orphanage. And every day, God provided what he needed for numbers and numbers of children. Tremendous biography on George Mueller. This one is on Hudson Taylor, so some of these are biographical. This is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, and you'll glean a lot out of that if you're able to sign that out. This is called Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. Again, smaller books, books that you can chew on, books that will stir your heart regarding prayer. And this guy is known as the Apostle of Prayer, John Hyde. John Hyde used to pray outside in the snow, and he'd be there for such a long time that a circle of snow would melt around him. That's what they say about John Hyde. And so these books are available, and then some of you are familiar with the complete works of E.M. Bounds. We also have a couple of those resources available. Maybe you want to have and integrate into your schooling, parents, the reading of some books on prayer. Maybe as a family, you want to read one of these books together. Certainly, it is a way to keep you aware and to keep you stirred on this front. And so the prayer resources are available. The prayer guide we'll introduce next week. And then throughout the building and down in the annex, there are picture frames above drinking fountains, on bathroom doors, that are quotes on prayer. For instance, on the man's gentleman's bathroom door downstairs, there's a prayer quote that goes like this: if you're too busy to pray, you're busier than what God wants you to be. That's a good reminder. And so throughout the year, we'll be changing those out, putting different quotes in those, so that as you're walking through the buildings, those things come to your attention and you're reminded, and there's a thought that you're thinking about that's related to prayer. Sunday night services will begin with a prayer focus like we did tonight, whether that be praying for those in authority or praying for laborers for the harvest or for the word of the Lord to have free course or for boldness in witnessing or whatever that prayer focus is. We'll start the Sunday evening services with that this year. And then we would like to see, and my burden is, to see a revival of fervency, of spirit and power in our ministries. And I believe that that will only come through prayer. And so there's a meeting for heads of department coming up for every head of department in our church. That means somebody that's in charge of a ministry. And those of you that are heads, I'm going to be talking to you about scheduling a prayer meeting or a couple prayer meetings throughout the year for your ministry, so that all of our ministries are grounded in prayer. And Lord, give us a heart for what we're doing. Lord, help us not to just function, but Lord, burden us for the ministry that you've given us. Lord, may there be power. May you show your power through our ministries and the ministry that we give ourselves to in this area. So I'll be meeting with heads of department about that here in a couple weeks. It's in your announcement bulletin where that meeting is. But we want to have a couple of cottage prayer meetings scheduled throughout the year to stir the fires of our soul for revival. And we have those built into the calendar, and very, very excited to just really zone in on prayer this year. We want to become more like Christ in prayer. And so I preached this morning a message to help us to see how Christ would teach us to pray. These are goals related to our theme, and all of that means that we have to have time alone with God. You know, to pray doesn't cost you money. You know what it costs? It costs time. That's what it does. It costs time. On the back of your booklet tonight, there are a number of specific prayer requests that I would like you to integrate somehow into your prayer time. These are some things that you know, some of these things you know about. Some of these things maybe you don't know about yet. But obviously the ministry building is a prayer point. It's not the number one prayer point. Buildings aren't most important. People are most important. My relationship to God is most important. But no doubt we need wisdom every day in what we're pursuing across the street. You'll hear more about that throughout the year. We still need to pray for the radio station approval. That's an opportunity of ministry that we have going forward. We need to pray for the Baltimore Rescue Mission Ministry. which is new. And just we had our first service down there in December, and God certainly worked through the preaching, and there was a man that was dealt with. But I ask you to pray for that. The York County Youth Development Center ministry is just getting off the ground, and so we need your prayer about that. We're still forming the burden, the mission for that ministry, and the wherewithal to be able to go in and minister there. And then a new thing that we're looking to do this year is during the week of VBS, we feel like there are communities, and we feel like we have numerous workers. We feel like there are communities that maybe we can't get those kids here, but we could go and do a backyard Bible club somewhere, and we could take the gospel to them, and we could expand our borders a little bit and maybe reach some kids during the week of VBS that maybe they can't get to our VBS, but we can go to them. And so we're hoping that God will put together a team of workers, three or four individuals that could go and host a Bible club in a community, and maybe by the end of the week at the closing program, bring some of those kids to our Bible school for the closing program. There's another prayer focus we want, and that is the salvation of our friends and neighbors. And throughout this year, I'll be giving you little tidbits on how to minister, build relationships with your neighbors for the purpose of the gospel. And so that is a prayer point. And then another prayer point is hedges of protection for our young people. As we're thinking about the future of our church, the future of our church is our young people. That's the truth. So if the devil knows what the future of a church is, where do you think he might aim his darts at? Young people. Young people. And obviously working with young people for a number of years and in church ministry, we've seen that, we've watched that. And so I ask that you pray this year for our young people. Maybe God would give you one or two specifically that you bring up before the Lord in prayer. And just, Lord, these two or three in our church, Lord, I just want to zero in on them, Lord. Would you protect them from the wiles of the devil? Would you guard their lives? Would you keep them pure, Lord? Would you keep them on the right track? Would you keep them in right relationships with authorities in their lives, Lord? Would you stir in their heart a desire to serve you? Prayer, prayer, prayer for our young people. That's on the back there. And then this is something that we've been targeting in prayer. And it's good to have Paul Matters here tonight. Paul got saved and was sick for a while, but Paul, as a new convert, is here tonight. And it's good to see Tony here tonight. And it's good to see the Cochrans here tonight. And people that are just coming to church and getting to Sunday night service. But you know there are more like that, that need to get to Sunday night service, that need to get to Wednesday night service, that need to get to all the services. And I would ask you to agree in prayer with me over that this year, that, Lord, the Sunday morning crowd would grow and would grow in hunger to the point that, you know what, I have to die to miss church because I love church and I want church and I want to be with God's people. God, would you stir up a crowd like that, that would increase our Sunday and Wednesday night attendance, and then provision of finances for the ministry building. We'll talk a little bit about that. And so those are some things related to prayer that I want to give to you. And then just walking through the vision booklet, if you look at page number 3 and 4, or pages 3 and 4, this doesn't have every single date on it for the year of every little thing that's happening in our church, but it does have a lot of the major things that are going on in the church. One thing that I would point out to you that we don't have a single page given to is last year we did the Bible book study night and we felt like it was really, really helpful. And we're planning to do that again where we study a book of the Bible together, one evening together. You see that date is March the 14th on page number 3 there. A number of other things, some of them are new and we'll go through them as we go through the booklet. Some of them are standard things that we have each and every year. On the next page there, you have church family activities, and we have a number of them throughout the year. We had family bowling the other night and to kick off the year. And then we have the family pine car derby coming up on the 24th. There's a sign-up sheet for that. You can get your kit. We have a day of design if you want to come to the church and work on your design of your car. And just a really, really great time of fellowship there and some friendly competition. And we'll pull out our 33-foot aluminum track and it'll all be polished up, and you'll get to see how fast your cars go because it keeps track of the miles per hour, and You'll get to see who you lose to and all of those things. It's all good. Then we have a family hayride, church-wide family hayride, scheduled for October the 11th. There, some family things throughout the year. And then the next page is the Marriage Matters Conference, which is coming up on February the 2nd and 3rd, and some information that most of you already know about. And then this year we're doing something different on Easter. And my mother taught me this. She taught me variety is the spice of life. So all change, Brother Mark, is not bad. All right? And so on Easter Sunday this year, we're going to have an Easter sunrise service. And then we're going to serve breakfast down in the annex building. And then I'm going to be talking to each of our Sunday school teachers about each class playing a part in the resurrection of Christ in that Sunday school hour that we have together. And so each class will have a little to do in that Sunday school hour. But to make Easter Sunday a special Sunday that we remember the resurrection of Christ in some special ways, we'll be doing that. And you see that on March 31st. Easter's early this year. And then the next page has Friends and Family Day, and we are planning that for April the 7th. It's actually the kickoff to our revival services with my father this year. And we'll have a lunch for you to invite friends and family, neighbors too, and be preaching the gospel on that day. Spring, good time to get people out for the services. And we look forward to that special week of focusing on revival. And then we get into some of the summer things here in the booklet. I know some of you were chomping. There were kids that were in Pastor Todd's office tonight. They're trying to bribe him to get the themes for all the different things happening this summer. Well, now you know what they are, all right? The great Summer Olympic Games is coming at camp this year, June 24th through 28th. Brother Barry Webb will be speaking. Pastor Bill Hardiker, Missionary Bill Hardiker, will also be speaking at camp. And so we look forward to that week together. And then during the week of VBS, we have that evening youth rally that we do Wednesday through Friday evenings. And we have this year U.S. Army against Navy. Great outreach. Pastor Samples is coming in to preach that for us. And we're looking forward to a great harvest like we saw last year. Mary and Nikki came to this year's youth rally to bring David. And Mary and Nikki ended up receiving Jesus Christ at the youth rally. Of course, we had some others, and we're excited to, again, broadcast the gospel through the youth rally. VBS this year is Flight School, Monday through Friday, July 22nd through the 26th. And we're actually hoping to take kids on a hang glider at the end of the... No, I'm kidding. But we are looking forward to a great week of Vacation Bible School there, and look forward to a brand new theme. And then in August, the teens will be taking a missions trip to Butte, Montana, and actually helping our missionaries, the Becks, to run their 2024 Vacation Bible School, and also to see the need for missions and church planting in the United States. And so teens, you'll be hearing more about that. Parents of teens certainly will be communicating with you about that. And then get into the fall, and we have our men and boys camp out, which we started last year. It was a really enjoyable time, and this year we're expanding it another day. And be aware of those dates, and men and sons and men in the church, set aside those dates for a special time together. And then we're bringing back Bless the Harvest Sunday, which is a reach out to our farmers. We did that a couple years ago. Felt that our farmers in our community that came were blessed by the service. We pray over their protection. We pray over their harvest. We try to serve them a meal, and we're looking forward to doing that on September the 29th. And then something new this year that we've not done before on October 6th is Faith in Blue Sunday. Faith in Blue Sunday is really a national day that I was unaware of. Actually, one of the other pastors that we fellowship with made us aware of this at the Shepherd's Retreat. And it's actually a day that the police departments really recommend their officers to get to a church service. And, if they want to get to a church service, why not come to ours? And so it's a good time to honor officers. It's a good time to invite officers in. And we plan to do something for them on the 6th of October, Faith in Blue Sunday. We're looking forward to that. Our missions conference theme this year is So Little Time. And you see that on the next page. October 23rd through 27th. And then our Christmas musical and drama, and boy, it has been a fruitful year from our Christmas musical and drama. We've had two that came to the musical in December that have gotten saved. And we thank the Lord for that. And so we look forward to doing that again. And then the last page there's the just talks a little bit about the building project. Of course, we have a goal to obtain construction permits this year, towards the beginning of the year, Lord willing. And then we want to begin phase one of remodeling. Then in June, we'll be taking up an offering similar to a missions offering where you pray before the Lord what the Lord might want you to give to the building fund. And then we'll give that opportunity to give those funds by the end of the year. And so you can be praying for that throughout the year. We are saving back for it, but we also know that it probably cost us more than what we're able to save for. And so we'll be dealing with that in the month of June. And there's a number of usages there that are mentioned. Really, when I talk about it in the members' meeting in February, we'll really review the usages, none of which have changed from when we bought it 6 years ago or 5 years ago. But we'll review that. You can be in prayer. There'll probably be some work days. There'll be a project offering. All of those things you can be involved in. And then the prayer request on the back of the booklet. This all comes about through prayer. And I met with staff back in October. Some of these things we talk about throughout the year, but in October we really, really dig in, so to speak. And God has used Pastor Henricks and Pastor Dirks to help with this vision. So the way this works is I bring something to the table that I believe the Lord would have our church to go forward in. And then, of course, in the minds of our leadership, God gives them thoughts and gives me thoughts and meshes together what we have presented to you tonight. And I think it is a spiritual focus. I think that the Lord certainly can bring and grow us in prayer this year. And I want to finish tonight by preaching out of John 15, verse number 7, which is the theme verse for the year. John 15 is a book or a chapter in the Scriptures that has a theme of fruit. Certainly the theme of fruit is throughout John 15. For instance, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Verse number 8, that same word fruit comes up again. And it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Verse number 16, that word fruit comes up again. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Tonight I want to bring to your thoughts some of what's in here is functions of our church, ministries of our church. Truth is, we could do everything here. We could have Easter sunrise service. We could have Friends and Family Day camp. We could have our teen rally in the summer. We could have our missions trip, our flight school, VBS, men and boys camp out, and a host of other things that maybe we don't have at a full color page, but happen in our church. We could do it without abiding in Christ. We could. What will come of it if we don't abide in Christ is no fruit. I don't know about you, but when it comes to gardening or working with plants, I don't like to work and get nothing. That's not my idea of gardening. I like to garden to see fruit. I like to go out and pick those big, juicy tomatoes that we work to plant. And boy, I had to go out and use some hydrogen peroxide around them to keep them from things that would do damage to them. And I had to go out and pick the little pinch the little things off in between the stems so that it doesn't take nutrients away from the plant. And all the work that goes into my tomato plants to get nothing is bad news. And to do in our church without abiding is an empty, empty endeavor. And so I want to give you some thoughts about abiding tonight. Here's the title of the message: If Ye Abide. First three words of verse number 7 in the text. If ye abide. If ye abide. What does it mean to abide? It means that without my dependence upon Him, I will depend upon myself. And that won't produce anything. If I'm going to abide, if you're going to abide in Christ, it means a personal dependence upon Christ. Look at verse number 5, if you will. Verse number 5 of John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There are many things that we can do without Christ, but here's the problem. Without Christ, Christ's character cannot come through me. Let me say that again. There's many things that you and I can do without Christ, but without Christ, without abiding in Christ, then Christ's character cannot flow through me. I am dependent upon His life and His character in order to bear fruit. I can't bear fruit, not fruit that pleases the Lord, without Him. Without abiding in Him, our work is just work without the fruit that God desires. Dad preached a message years ago called Leaves Only Christians. Christians that do not abide in Christ. And they never bear the fruit. You see, if you're going to abide, if ye abide, it will demand a dependent heart upon Christ in a daily way. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Of itself, a branch is weak and useless. I was going to bring in a branch tonight. You can picture it with me. A branch that is disconnected, that has broken off a tree. I have quite a few of those from the wind the last couple of days. Is that branch got any life going into it any longer? No. You see, that branch is really good for what? Burning. What else? Burning. It's going to die. It's going to wither. It's going to become rotten over time because it's disconnected from the source of its life. And in the Christian life, we can come to church without abiding in Christ. We can. Not going to bear much fruit like that. We can go about the daily life that we live without abiding in Christ, but what's going to happen is we're going to dry up and we're going to lose spiritual life. In other words, we're going to look like a dead branch, spiritually speaking. Would you be convinced that the greatest thing that you can give yourself to this year is abiding in Christ? His word abiding in you and you abiding in Him through prayer. It is union with Christ. It is personal dependence upon the Lord. And my friend, if you will take that challenge from God's word seriously, the truth is every person here can abide in Christ. The Bible says, if ye abide, that's personal. That's your choice. It's not my choice whether or not you abide. I can't
make you abide and you can't make me abide, but you can abide in Christ. You can be dependent upon God. You can come to God in your weakness saying, God, I need you for this today. I'm a homeschooling mother, Lord. And Lord, I need you to help the kids through their subjects today. Lord, I need you to be able to maintain a spirit-filled attitude as I work with my children in their subjects today. Lord, there will be frustrating times. But Lord, you want me to bear the fruit of Christ before them. So Lord, I need your life to come through me. Lord, I'm going to work today, but Lord, I can't go to work and your life come through me unless, Lord, you abide in me and Lord, you come through my life to touch the lives of my coworkers. God, I need you. Abiding in Christ requires personal dependence. Number two, abiding in Christ, if you're going to abide in Christ, it includes a pruning discipline. A pruning discipline. In the days of the Bible, instead of using insecticide to get rid of harmful insects on the vines, water was poured on vines to wash off insects which would damage a vine and hinder fruit production. In this lesson, in John chapter 15, verses 2 and 3 here, the Word of God is that which cleans and purges. And if I could say it this way, it washes the insects out of our lives that would drain us of being fruit bearers. Look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. This is the result of purging. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Grape growers practice several stages of pruning. There's pinching to remove the growing tip so it will not grow too rapidly. And also topping when a foot or two of the new growth is removed to prevent the loss of an entire shoot. Thinning the grape clusters enables the rest of a branch to bear more fruit and better quality of fruit. By the way, in the growing tomatoes, I learned that this year. Boy, if I go in there and I'll pinch those little things that grow up, the small things that grow up in between the main stems, boy, I learned that I got larger tomatoes. I got better fruit this year from taking time to prune. Lettuce is the same way. Pruning is a principle of growth. It is a principle of bearing fruit. And God brings that into the Christian life. God prunes us. Sometimes he prunes something out that we want. That's hard. Sometimes God reaches into our lives and he so desires for us to bear fruit that he prunes something out that we like, such as health. How many of you like health? I like health. Does God sometimes change that whole realm in our lives? He does. What is an end goal of that pruning, preacher, that I'll bring forth more fruit? What does that fruit look like? That fruit is the life of Christ through me to touch others. That's what it is. And sometimes when he takes something we don't like out of our lives, what happens is we become more dependent. We draw closer. Christ's character becomes more prominent through my life. But I don't like the pruning, preacher. I don't either. Sometimes he takes things out of our lives that we like. Sometimes he deals with things that are hindering us spiritually. They are a hindrance. They are a focus. They're too much of a focus in our lives. So what does God do? He prunes. Pruning's painful, but pruning is profitable because it helps us to abide. And he prunes so that we will bring forth much fruit? And isn't the fruit of our lives about others? That's what the fruit is. The fruit of our lives is about others. And so if you abide, it's going to require personal dependence upon the Lord. If you abide, it's going to require pruning as a discipline that God's going to come into your life and he's going to shape your life and he's going to prune some things out. But it's going to bear fruit in our lives. Here's an athlete, and an athlete has all these things in his life. And you know what? He likes potato chips and French onion dip. And he gets in the athlete program of whatever sport that he's in, and the coach sits down with the players and says, now, I want you to cut some things out of your life, including junk food. Okay. I'm not thrilled about it, but what is the coach got in mind? It's going to produce something good in your life. It's going to help you to be a better athlete in that way. And so there's pruning. Thirdly, I want you to see in the text, if you abide, there's a sharp difference. Look at verse 6, verse 7. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here in verse 6, we have a failure recorded of a Christian not abiding in Christ. What if, preacher, I choose not to abide? What if I say I'm not interested in that? There's a sharp contrast between verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, and verse 7, if ye abide in me. What does a life look like from a believer that is not abiding in the Lord? By the way, it's probably true of every believer here that you can look back in your life and see times where you did not abide in Christ. Okay? What does that life look like? Well, verse 6 paints the picture of that life. It is withered. Withered is dried. Withered is my desire for spiritual is not there. I don't have spiritual life. My fervency to serve the Lord is not there. Right? My desire to pray is not there. My attitudes that are coming out of my life are not fruits of the Spirit. My tastes have turned to carnal things. I enjoy carnal things. Church services seem to be a little dry to me. What's the problem? The root of the problem is you are not abiding in Christ. That's the root of the problem. You are withered. Now, the good thing about that is that you don't have to live there forever. That can change. You know, fruitlessness here in verse number 6 is threatened by fire. Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The truth is, if somebody lives without abiding in Christ long enough, they will become useless to the Lord. That's what Christ is saying here. If you don't abide in me, eventually you get to a place spiritually that the only thing I can do is take you and cast you aside. Could we put it this way? The only thing I could do is put you on a shelf. I can't use you. You don't have spiritual life. Christ is not working through your life. You are not dependent upon the Lord. As a result, you're not talking to God. You're not communing with God. There's no union. There's no unity. There's no closeness. You're looking like a dead branch. That's a bad place to be. In a congregation our size, it is likely that as I preach this message tonight, some are there. Some are in verse number 6. You're dry. I've been there before. I'll probably be there again. I know I will. I'm human. What you have to understand is when you're there, to go back to the root. What is the root? To begin abiding in Christ again. Begin abiding in Christ again. It is a personal decision. If ye abide in me, abide means to remain in him. It means to stay with him. It means to wait on him. If ye abide in Christ means that you're abiding, you're taking time with Christ in his word and in prayer. And if ye abide, there's a drastic difference in verse 7 than there is in verse number 6. In verse 6, if you're not abiding and you wither, you're on the shelf. In verse 7, if ye abide and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Here's abiding in a nutshell. Would you get it tonight? It's your choice whether or not you do this, if ye abide. But here it is in a nutshell. Abiding means to keep in fellowship with Christ daily so that his life can work in and through me to produce fruit. That is abiding in Christ. If you have no desire to keep in fellowship with Christ, then you cannot biblically expect to bear fruit. Only people that are committed to a daily fellowship with Christ, those are the people that will see fruit in their lives. Otherwise, it isn't happening. Not the biblical fruit that the Bible's talking about. Abiding in Christ is parallel to being filled with the Spirit. And so, with little time for the Lord and little fellowship with the Lord, we can expect little fruit. And with lots of fellowship with the Lord, we can expect lots of fruit. It is my prayer that believers here tonight renew their decision, their dependence, their desire to abide with Christ. I want you to understand that when you abide with Christ, it is a promising and it is a productive direction. It's not boring. It's not boring to watch Christ work through your life. It's not boring to spend time with Jesus and for him to speak to you and for you to be in God's presence and for you to see God answer specific prayers in your life. It's not boring for your life to touch other lives and for you to sense the Spirit of God working in your midst as you're working with somebody else. My friend, that is not boring. It is exciting. It is promising. It is productive. But did you know that we could do everything that we have in the book, so to speak, but not be connected to the source of life? You ever turned on your water faucet outside, grabbed the end of the water hose, only to find that the hose you're holding is not connected to the faucet that you turned on? So you find yourself holding the end of a hose that's empty and not productive. You're not getting water. The water's over there. The water's going straight down. The water's there. The source is there. The source has what you need. The problem is it's not connected. Can I say tonight, the source is Christ. The source has everything that you need. The source wants to bring fruit and all the ingredients, the spiritual ingredients to your life so that you can bear fruit that pleases God. But if you're not connected and you don't have fellowship, you got a hose and the water's going off back there saying, just connect to me. That's what Christ desires, that we connect to Him. You say, preacher, what does that fruit look like? Verse 7. Look at verse 7. Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Is the Bible saying, preacher, if I abide in him and he abides in me, I can ask anything that I want, prosperity prayer, and I'll get it? No, it's not. No, that's not what he's saying here. But what he is saying is this: as you abide in him, your desires and your prayers are going to line up with his will. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to see God answer prayers according to his will in your life. And watch this. The more that we're praying in the will of God, the more we're going to see prayers answered. If ye abide. That's the condition. If ye abide. You're going to pray according to the will of God. God's going to hear your prayers and answer your prayers. In verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Can I say this? One of the fruits of you abiding in Christ is effectual prayer. It is praying things that you know God will answer, that God is interested in that prayer. It is according to the will of God. It is effectual prayer. You'll bear effectual fruit on your knees if you're abiding in Christ. It's powerful. And keep on bearing fruit. That ye bear, and the idea here is in verse number 8, and that you will keep on bearing that fruit. Jesus promises joy. He promises fruit to those that abide in Christ. Can I say this tonight? It's not hard. This is not hard. It's not a type 5 algebra 2 problem that takes 3 pages and you're, oh my word, am I ever going to get through this? How in the world do I figure this out? No. It's you just committing to have time to fellowship with Christ. For you to talk to Him. And for Him to talk to you. A little bit more fellowship than, Lord, bless my day today. Not fellowship. Fellowship's where I am able to communicate with somebody back and forth. I communicate to you, you communicate to me. Fellowship with the Lord. It can happen. It can be true in your life. You say, well, preacher, I'm a relatively new Christian. You know what? Just make a commitment tonight. I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to fellowship with Christ. I'm going to learn how to pray. And I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to let Him talk to me through His Word. I'm going to talk to Him in prayer. I'm going to remain with Him. I'm going to stay with Christ. And Christ is going to produce His fruit through my life. Maybe you've been looking for a focus in the new year. Maybe the focus is to answer the question tonight. If I abide, yes, I'm going to abide. Personally, I'm going to abide with Christ. And if you make that choice, could I encourage you to make John 15 a passage that you review quite often? Because John 15 will remind you of the truths that we lined out tonight in the Scriptures. Alone fellowship with God. When that's taking place, God promises fruit. God promises joy. God promises the character of Christ flowing through you. Been out of sorts as you start the new year? You know what you can probably trace it back to? You're not abiding. You're just not abiding. If you're abiding, your flesh doesn't overtake situations. Christ comes through in those situations. If ye abide. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. As we start the new year and zero in on the aspect of prayer in abiding with Christ, we introduce a lot of things that we can be excited about in our church, look forward to. Really, as we begin the year together, There's three groups of people in this room tonight. One is a group that may not know how to abide. And I hope tonight has shed some light on what that looks like. Two is people that are currently abiding. And if you are abiding in Christ, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Just continue. As your pastor tonight, as a friend, just can I encourage you, just continue in it. It's wonderful. And then there's another group that is not abiding or has not been abiding. You might remember a time when you did abide. You might remember a time where really what I'm preaching is foreign to you. You've never really sensed or enjoyed what I'm talking about tonight. But I'm saying tonight, it is a decision. It is a decision of personal dependence upon the Lord. It is a decision that when you abide, He will deal with you and He will prune you in your life so that you can bear forth more fruit. It is a direction that is promising and productive because it will bring forth fruit. What's it going to require, Pastor? It's going to require time. That's what it's going to require. Tonight, I wonder if you would, maybe in your heart, you're abiding, but you are challenged to all the more abide with Christ tonight. You say, Lord, just keep helping me to fellowship with you. Maybe tonight you're out of fellowship with the Lord. Maybe as you look at the last week, your abiding has been, it's been inconsistent. Oh yeah, I talked to the Lord here for a few minutes this week, but it wasn't daily. It wasn't throughout the day. And you would say, I need to personally decide that this year in my life, I am going to work at, with God's help, abiding in fellowship with Christ. How many of you would say, Preacher, in my life, I am making that decision. I am personally going to work at abiding in fellowship with Christ this year. Would you raise your hand in this building? Maybe connected to what we dealt with this morning in the area of prayer, but in your personal life, you see the stark contrast of somebody that does not abide and somebody that does abide. And you're saying, Preacher, I see that, and I see that it's a personal decision if you abide. And I see God's promises to those that do abide. Preacher, I am going to work at abiding with Christ. Would you raise your hand with these others before I go to prayer tonight? Somebody else. Preacher, I'm making that decision tonight in my life. I personally am going to work at abiding with Christ this year. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for wanting to fellowship with us. I'm reminded that Jesus knocks at our heart's door. And he knocks, and Lord, he's willing to come in and sup or commune or fellowship with us. If we would just daily open the door. Father, a decision's a good thing, but Lord, it may require somebody making some changes this week as they start this week as to, Lord, the when of this. And Lord, it may be, Lord, increasing my abiding. Lord, I may be just communing with you in the morning, but Lord, I may need to commune with you at night. Or Lord, maybe, Lord, more mind on you throughout the day. But Lord, wherever we're at in this, I pray, Lord, that there will be growth in our abiding. And Lord, as a result, that there would be growth in the fruit that comes from our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. If you're making a decision to abide tonight, I invite you to come to the altar, bow a knee before the Lord, say, Lord, this year in my life, Lord, this needs to be my focus. Lord, help me not to lose track of you. Lord, help me not to live my days without fellowship with you. God, I want to bear much fruit that will please you. But without this, I know I can't. Maybe you need to come back to personal dependence tonight before the Lord and understand you're doing and doing and serving. And this is home crowd tonight. Most of you are serving in the church in a number of ways, serving your families. But you understand to do it without Christ means to do it without fruit, sweet fruit that touches the lives of others. And God desires that. He desires that for your life. Songbooks, if you would, turn to hymn number 315. Hymn number 315, Nearer, Still Nearer. We'll sing the first verse tonight as we close the service of hymn number 315. To look in your bulletin under what's happening this week, to be remembering of those things. Don't forget to be praying for your ministries. Next Sunday night, we'll give you the tablet on the prayer guide. I believe that will be an aid to your abiding, and so we'll get that to you next Sunday night, all right? God bless you, Pastor Todd.
All right, don't forget that Ambassadors has been delayed 1 week, so the Ambassadors Fellowship will be on the 23rd. But it won't be this Tuesday. So please remember that. Boys basketball starts tomorrow night. We're excited about that. If you have any questions on that, you can catch Brad Peters on the way out tonight. But that starts tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Stewards, we got a meeting Wednesday night at the regular time. Ladies Bible study is this coming Thursday. You can see the times in your bulletin. So ladies Bible study is this week. Light on Purpose is Saturday, 9:30, down in the Annex building. And then we go out soul winning, knocking on doors, new move-ins, and all of that. Would encourage you to come out, even if you haven't been out. Hey, it's 2024, and if you haven't done it before, it's a good year to start. And then also, don't forget the other things in your printed announcement sheet. Next Sunday evening at 5:45 p.m. is a special music song leader and pianist meeting, and so please be aware of that. If you have any questions on that meeting, you can see myself or Pastor Jerry. Any other announcements, last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Dustin Speckhouse, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.